Welcome back to the deep dive. Okay, I need everyone to just take a second and look at the date. It's Friday, February 13th, 2026. And usually when we get a stack of reports like this one, this huge document called Take in Night, it's just industry news, stock prices,
The
earnings,
usual noise. Yeah, the stuff you just scan and then pretty much forget about.
But this doesn't feel like noise. It feels like we're looking at a map of, I don't know, a different planet. We are talking about a complete restructuring of how computers think
And how games are made.
and how games are made. And honestly, whether human engineers are even going to be necessary in like 5 years.
It's way less of a news update and more of a strategic survival guide, isn't it? The source material here breaks it all down into 15 strategic layers. But when you zoom out, it's clear the tectonic plates of the tech world aren't just shifting, they're colliding. We are looking at a moment where the kind of rules of physics in silicon are changing and the rules of economics are right behind them.
And we are standing right on that fault line. We've got Sony positioning itself as this Alexander the Great of gaming, conquering limitations we thought were impossible. We've got a Silicon War that's leaving giants like Nvidia, I mean, companies we thought were untouchable looking, surprisingly vulnerable. And then there's the economy.
The agentic economy. I think that's the term that's going to define 2026.
That's the phrase that kept jumping out at me. The idea that we aren't just using AI tools anymore. We're not just typing prompts into a box.
No.
We are living alongside AI agents that do the work for us.
Or instead of us. And that's a critical distinction we have to get comfortable with today.
Exactly. So our mission for this deep dive is to unpack those 15 layers. We need to figure out how we got here, where the landmines are, and how to navigate this new singularity the sources are screaming about.
Because it's not science fiction. The supply chain data says it's happening right now.
Okay, so let's get into it.
Let's do it.
We have to start with the hardware. Because for the last, what, 10 years, if you talked about AI or high-end gaming, you were really only talking about one company.
NVIDIA. Always NVIDIA. They're the standard.
A monopoly in everything but name.
For sure. If you needed chips, you went to Jensen. Simple as that.
But looking at strategic layer one in this report, the tone is, well, it's not panicked, but it's definitely ominous for them. It describes the cracking of that monopoly.
Yeah.
And it's not coming from where I thought it would. I figured, AMD or Intel would finally catch up. But no, the report points to Cerebras.
And their CS3 system, it's a classic innovator's dilemma, right? NVIDIA built an entire empire on the GPU. They took a chip that was designed to render video games, and they kind of forced it to do math for AI.
And they got incredibly good at it.
Unbelievably good. But Cerebras asked a more fundamental question. Why are we trying to make a graphics chip do math? Why don't we just build a chip that's native to the problem?
And the answer seems to be all about size. I'm looking at strategic layer 12. It calls it the battle of the giant wafers. Now, to me, a wafer sounds like a cookie. So break this down for us. Why is everyone suddenly obsessed with making these things massive?
Okay, so imagine a city. Traditionally, making chips is like building 1,000 tiny little houses. Those are your GPUs. You take a big silicon wafer, you slice it up into tiny squares, and you package them. But then to make a supercomputer, you have to connect them all with roads, wires, circuit boards, so they can share information.
And the roads are the bottleneck.
Precisely. That's it. It doesn't matter how fast your car is, if you have to drive 5 miles to deliver a message, there's a delay. That's latency.
I see.
And in the world of massive AI models, the ones running the agentic economy, that travel time is the difference between an AI that thinks instantly and one that, lags.
So NVIDIA is basically trying to build wider highways between the houses.
Exactly. They're optimizing the interconnects. But Cerebras just flipped the whole table. They said, don't cut the silicon up. Keep the whole wafer.
One giant building.
One giant mega building under a single roof. Everyone's in the same room. The data doesn't have to travel miles over copper. It travels millimeters on pure silicon.
So the latency it basically vanishes. It's speed of light communication on a tiny scale.
It drops by orders of magnitude. And the CS3 isn't just a big chip, it's a wafer scale engine. And the source material highlights the partnership that really drives this home. OpenAI is moving towards Cerebras.
That's the smoking gun, isn't it?
It is.
If the biggest AI company in the world is flirting with this wafer scale tech, that signals a huge pivot away from the GPU clusters we've been building for a decade.
It's a signal that for the agentic economy we're building, where AI needs to think fast, continuously, The old way of chaining small chips together just isn't efficient enough anymore.
A hardware singularity, as the report calls it.
Right. And speaking of efficiency, that brings us to the other titan in this story.
Sony. Strategic Layer 15.
Ah, yes.
They call it Sony's final strike. It sounds so dramatic, like an anime title. But looking at the details, it feels like they've been playing this long game while everyone else was distracted.
They really have. I mean, while Microsoft was out buying publishers, Nintendo was off doing its own wonderful thing, Sony was just obsessing over the pipeline, hardware and software.
And the report zeroes in on Strategic Layer 7, the neural rendering layer. Now, when I see neural rendering, I think upscaling, like DLSS, where AI makes a grainy image look sharp. Is that what this is?
It's the evolution of that. But it's much, much more aggressive. See, traditional upscaling is reactive. It fixes the image after it's made.
Okay.
This neural rendering is integrated into the creation pipeline. It's using AI to predict and generate parts of the frame before the GPU even has to sweat.
So it's not just polishing the car, it's helping build the engine while you're
driving it. That's a great way to put it. Think of it like this. Instead of the computer calculating how light bounces off a puddle, which is very expensive, the AI just knows what a puddle looks like and paints it in.
It's hallucinating reality, but the correct reality.
Yes. And that leads us to Strategic Layer 3, which I think is the most fascinating technical nugget in this whole thing.
The breaking of the cell processor spell.
Oh, this is a deep cut for the gaming historians out there.
I remember the PS3 launch. The hype was just unbelievable. It does everything. And then the developers actually got their hands on it.
And they cried.
Yeah, basically. It was notoriously difficult to code for.
It was a knot nobody could untie. The cell processor had this bizarre architecture, one main core and all these little side processors, that was powerful but just hostile to normal coding.
Which is why games like Metal Gear Solid 4 were stuck on that console for almost 20 years.
You couldn't just port them. You had to rebuild them from scratch, which is impossible.
But the report says Sony has cut the knot.
They've used this neural layering and their new architecture to finally emulate and surpass that old cell structure. They didn't just brute force it. They outsmarted it. This suggests the new Metal Gear 4 bundles aren't just ports.
They're running at 120 frames per second.
A synchronized 120 on architecture that shouldn't be able to run it at all.
That is the Alexander the Great moment, conquering the unconquerable.
It sends a message. We own the hardware stack. And when you combine that with Strategic Layer 2, the Sons of Spartan analysis, we're seeing something they call 4D graphics.
4D implies time.
Right, exactly. It implies a world that changes dynamically over time, reacting to you in a way static levels just can't. It's not just a pretty picture, it's a living simulation.
Mm-hmm.
The neural layer is remembering what you did 10 minutes ago and subtly altering the world to reflect that.
Which sounds amazing for gamers. I mean, playing Metal Gear at 120 FPS with this tech sounds like a dream, but here's where the report gets really heavy.
The flip side of optimization.
Strategic Layer 6.
The agentic economy.
We touched on this, but we need to really look at the numbers. The source mentions the replacement of 30,000 engineers.
It's a staggering number.
And we aren't talking about factory automation here. We're talking about highly skilled software engineers, people with degrees who thought they were safe.
This is the infrastructure optimization speed run they mention. You see, before this, in 2024, 2025, we used AI like a really smart autocomplete.
Right. It helps you code faster.
Right. It makes you faster, so maybe you need fewer junior devs. But the agentic economy is different.
How so? What's the real difference between a tool and an agent?
An agent is a worker. You give it a goal, not a command. You say, optimize this database or audit this security protocol. The agent plans the steps, writes the code, tests it, debugs it, and deploys it. It does the whole loop.
So if you have one senior architect managing 10 AI agents, you suddenly don't need those 30 mid-level engineers doing the grunt work?
Exactly. The report frames this as a massive efficiency gain, which technically it is for the companies. But for the labor market, it's a bomb. We're watching productivity decouple from headcount. You can build more with fewer people.
That's sobering. And it's not happening in a vacuum. The report points out that while the West is dealing with all this, there's a whole other game being played across the ocean.
Strategic Layer 4, the Eastern Singularity.
It sounds like a sci-fi novel. This involves Huawei and Zipu, right?
Correct. We tend to get tunnel vision. You know, we focus on OpenAI, Google, Meta. But the report argues that China, led by Huawei on the hardware and Zipu on the models, is building a completely separate, self-sustaining ecosystem.
A counterweight.
It's more than that. a distinct singularity, a point where their tech stack becomes so fundamentally different from ours that they might stop being compatible at all.
So we have two separate tech universes expanding at the same time, and both are rushing toward autonomous AI.
Which brings us to the danger zone. Strategic Layer 8. The report calls this a looming crisis for the infrastructure of 2028.
Autonomous threats.
Think about it. We just said we are replacing humans with agents. Agents that run on those massive Cerebras chips at lightning speed. If an agent makes a mistake, or worse, if one is compromised, it happens at machine speed.
A human can't react fast enough to stop it.
You're building a race car that goes 500 miles an hour, but you're taking the steering wheel away and just hoping the autopilot doesn't hallucinate a cliff. The infrastructure is becoming so optimized that it's also becoming incredibly fragile.
That is terrifying. Okay, let's pivot to something slightly less existential. Let's talk about the creative side. Because the report says this same tech is actually triggering a renaissance in gaming.
It is. It's a weird paradox. The same efficiency that's costing jobs is also resurrecting dead franchises.
Strategic Layer 11, the future of dead franchises. It specifically lists Silent Hill and Castlevania. Now, I grew up on Castlevania. Konami has been sitting on that IP for years. Why now?
It's all about risk. For the last decade, making a big AAA game cost hundreds of millions of dollars. You couldn't risk that on a niche horror game like Silent Hill.
You had to make a generic shooter that would sell 10 million copies.
Exactly. But if AI agents drive the cost of production way, way down, suddenly you don't need to sell 10 million copies. You can make a weird, dark, artistic Silent Hill for a fraction of the cost.
So automation is actually saving art. That's a twist I did not see coming.
It's the silver lining, and it's powered by Strategic Layer 5 Unreal Engine 6. The source describes its magic as leveraging that neural rendering to create worlds that are basically indistinguishable from reality.
But there's a new term here I love, creative hallucination. This is Strategic Layer 14. Usually when AI hallucinates, it's bad. It's making up facts.
Right. In a factual context, hallucination is an error. But in a narrative context, it's imagination.
Explain that. How does an algorithm have imagination?
Well, if you're playing a game like Kena, Scars of Kazmora, which the report mentions, you don't want a pre-scripted robot response. You want the world to feel alive. Creative hallucination is being used as a feature to generate infinite narrative possibilities.
So the game is essentially improvising with you.
Precisely. It's not a bug. It's a new frontier in storytelling. It allows the game to react to your specific playstyle in a way a human writer could never anticipate.
That sounds incredible, but it drags us right back to the ethical nightmare. Strategic Layer 13 talks about data rights. If the game is improvising based on me, who owns that data?
The new licensing contracts are brutal. The report is very clear on this. They are designed to feed the models. Every move you make, every choice, every strategy, that is training data. You aren't just playing the game, you're training the next generation of the agent.
Which leads us directly to Strategic Layer 10. The one that made me want to disconnect my router.
Model inversion, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the critical vulnerability.
You're good at hacking. You break into a server, steal passwords. But model inversion sounds more psychological.
It is. Imagine you spend 100 hours with an advanced AI character in one of these games. That AI learns your patterns, your speech, maybe personal details you let slip.
Okay, so the AI knows me.
Right. Model inversion is a technique where an attacker doesn't hack the database. Instead, they interrogate the AI. They ask it carefully designed questions to trick it into revealing the data it learned from you.
So they reverse engineer me out of the AI's brain.
Exactly. They can extract secrets, behavioral profiles, even financial data, just by probing the model that learned from you. The game itself becomes a witness against you.
That creates a massive security hole. If I'm playing a game that uses creative hallucination, I'm essentially creating a digital clone of my behavior that can be hacked.
And that is why the source emphasizes that security protocols against this stuff are no longer optional. You cannot treat these systems like old software.
So pulling this all together, we've gone from giant wafers to Sony breaking the cell processor to an economy run by agents that puts engineers out of work but brings Castlevania back to life.
And finally, to the risk of being psychoanalyzed by our own video games. It's a lot.
It is a lot. So let's ground this. If I'm listening to this, what do? The report has a practical guide, right?
It does. Actionable advice. Let's break it down by who you are.
Okay, start with gamers. What's the move?
For gamers, the advice is specific. Watch the hardware specs. Do not buy legacy hardware right now. Wait for the chips that explicitly mention the neural rendering layer, That's your future-proofing.
And what about that Metal Gear bundle?
Exactly. Look out for those bundles targeting 120 feet piece. That's the new benchmark. If you're playing at 60 feet piece, you're in the past.
Okay. What about developers? If I'm one of those engineers looking at the agentic economy and feeling a cold sweat.
The advice is blunt. Pivot to the new architecture. Prioritize learning Cerebra's APIs immediately. The industry is shifting from GPU clusters to wafer-scale systems. If you know how to code for the mega building, you are valuable.
And if you're still optimizing for the city of houses?
You're obsolete. Learn to manage agents, not just be a tool user.
Tough love. And for everyone else, the average person in 2026.
Security. Specifically, protection against model inversion. You need to treat your data interaction with AI as a security risk. Be careful what you feed these systems. Don't tell the chatbot your secrets, because someone might be able to ask it for them later.
It really feels like we're walking a tightrope. Amazing entertainment on one side and job volatility and security nightmares on the other.
That is the definition of a revolution.
It's messy.
But I want to leave you with one final thought from the report that really stuck with me.
Let's hear it.
It's about that creative hallucination again.
Okay.
So we talked about how AI can hallucinate a story for a game. And we talked about how the economy is becoming agentic, where AI agents are doing the actual work, negotiating contracts, writing news, managing logistics.
Mm.
So if an AI agent negotiates a contract based on a creative hallucination of what the market needs, or designs a building based on a hallucinated architectural trend,
mm-hmm.
at what point does the line between the hallucinated world and the real economy just blur? If the agents are making the decisions based on their own internal logic, are we living in reality, or are we just living in the output of a neural rendering layer?
That is going to haunt me. I was worried about my job. Now I'm worried about my reality. Are we just NPCs in the agentic economy?
We might be.
Yeah.
But hey, at least the graphics in 2026 are going to be fantastic.
That's one way to look at it. We'll just enjoy the 120 frames per second while the world dissolves around us.
Exactly.
Well, that is all the time we have for today. Hopefully, this deep dive gave you the map you need to navigate the minefield of 2026.
Stay curious and stay secure.
We'll catch you on the next one. Take care.